To be a learner is to be someone who is aware of the fact that there is an awful lot that they don't know. Our God is so big that when he is magnified properly, he fills this whole world. He fills this universe. As he is magnified, he becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He becomes more glorious and more glorious and more glorious. So here we have, in these descriptions of what happened in Antioch, a description of what happens in every church. So what were they teaching? What was Paul teaching these people? I wanted to look at a couple of passages. I'll look at one briefly for a little bit now, but we read some of the references to it in 1 Peter chapter 2, but if you go back to Isaiah 28, Peter was referring to a passage in Isaiah 28 that is well known. And it's a lovely, lovely description. This is a lovely description. This is a description that magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of gospel preaching is for the Lord Jesus to fill the view. As you look through that telescope, you see him filling everything. Bigger and bigger and more powerful and more important and more secure. Verse 16 of Isaiah 28 speaks of him. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. I lay in the church of God for a foundation. We're talking about looking at Acts in light of the fact that this is the foundational, these are the foundational documents of the New Testament church. Everything else that is written in the rest of the New Testament is in some way built upon this foundation. This first Gentile church is the forerunner of all of the Gentile churches throughout time. It is typical of all the Gentile churches that are in this world today. What a great description of our God. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation. The foundation of the church is laid by God himself. The foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just him and him alone. It's a foundation stone. It's a tried stone. It's a precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. This great rock, this great foundation, will sweep away all of the idolatrous notions that people had of God. It'll bring the people of God to understand that he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved, says Psalm 62. There is this foundation, isn't it? The great foundation of the church is the glory and the character of our triune God as he is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is revealed particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ as he fulfills all the Old Testament promises and prophecies. Everything in the Old Testament scripture points to him and to his glory. There is no other foundation to be laid. These people had this foundation taught to them, didn't it? To him, says Acts 10:43, give all the prophets witness. All the prophets witness the fact that this is the foundation stone that the church will be built on. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. See, the Gentile believers, both in Cornelius's house and in this first church, were taught about the grace of God, the power of God to achieve his purposes. They weren't given and they weren't directed back to the law. They weren't directed back to the moral law. They weren't directed to their works or their activities at all. They simply had Christ preached to them. And Paul and Barnabas for 12 months did exactly what Peter did in Cornelius' house, what Peter did in Jerusalem. They just keep preaching him. And God blesses. When the hand of God is upon the preaching of the gospel, God's people believe. And God-given faith rests on God revealing the Lord Jesus Christ as the yea and the amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega of all things written in the scriptures. The Bible begins with the words, don't they? In the beginning, God. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible finishes in Revelation 22 by saying, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So he begins the Bible about himself, he finishes the Bible about himself, and it's about him and about his grace. Simply saving faith. These people received the grace of God and they believed. A great number in this Antioch church believed. They believed. See, faith looks to him as he's revealed in his word. Faith relies on him to do as he has promised, that he is able. He's able to keep that which you've committed unto him. He's able to perform that which is promised. Saving faith gives glory to God as a promise maker and a promise keeper and a promise fulfiller. That's why he's the foundation, isn't he, in Isaiah 28, to go back to Isaiah 28. He is the foundation and no other foundation can any man lay. All of the idols of this world, all of the idols of so-called religion and so-called Christianity, all of them are idolatrous notions of him if he's not declared to be the Christ of God. He's not declared as the Old Testament scriptures declare him. He is, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, he's an elect stone and a precious stone, and he's a living stone. And I love what it says, unto whom coming? God's people are coming. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and you will find yourself at rest on this foundation stone. Come unto me and keep on coming. God's children are coming children all the time. He is described as a stone. The psalmist says, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. We need to have a stone as a foundation. A rock is unmovable. It's the firmest foundation in the world. It is that security from sinking. It is a place to rest. When you're sitting on a rock, you feel secure. It is a foundation stone. It's a tried stone, says the scriptures. He was tried. The Lord Jesus Christ was tried by his Father in the secret council. Nothing in all the world, nothing in all of creation could stand the weight and carry the load that the Lord God put on his Son. All of his glory, all of the glory of the name of God rested upon the perfect work and finishing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tried, and the iniquity of us all was laid on him. And that sure foundation, that tried stone, carried it. And God the Father poured out of it all of his holy wrath upon the sin that was laid on him. All those fierce arrows of wrath. And he stood it all. He was obedient unto death. He was tried. He was tried in the courts of men. He was tried. And he's tried by believers. He's tried because of our sin. And he's tried by us by our faith. Have you ever found him to fail? You'll never find him to fail. He's tried by his enemies. They find him, as we read in 1 Peter, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. And he could say to them just before his crucifixion, "Can any of you accuse me of sin?" They had to declare that the only reason they were putting him to death was because he claimed to be God. The only reason they could put him to death. He's tried by his enemies, and his enemies will find that he will grind them into powder. He's a precious stone. He's precious in value and he's precious in worth. He's precious because nothing in all of creation could ransom a soul from sin. No one in all of creation can set captives free from Satan. No one can defeat death except our Lord Jesus Christ. No one could stand the judgment of God except our Lord Jesus Christ. What can you give? What can you give? Micah 6 says, "Will you give the fruit of your body for the sins of your soul?" There's nothing you can give. It's freely given of him. In Revelation, the church, in Revelation 21, the church is pictured as that glorious building with these foundation stones of all those precious stones, even the gates are single pearls. Everything about the Church of God is precious because everything about the Church of God reflects he who is precious to it. He is beautiful. He's a tried stone. He's a sure foundation. All the weight of your eternal soul's meeting with God can be laid upon this sure foundation. You lay all of the weight of your sins, past, present and future, you lay all on him, and that sure foundation will stand them. You lay all of your duties and your performances and all the other activities, you lay them all on him, and he carries them all. He bears all of his people. He carries us into the Holy of Holies. I love that picture of the high priest. He carried the names of the children of God in two places. He carried them on his breast, close to his heart, and he carried them on his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He carries them. He carries his people into the Holy of Holies. And then he says to his people, "Take my yoke upon you, because it's easy. Take my burden upon you, because it's light." Why is it easy? It's to call a yoke. And it's called a burden. Why is it easy? Brothers and sisters, it's easy because he carries the load. He carries the load. We offer spiritual sacrifices to him. "Whom have I in heaven but him? What is your beloved more than any other beloved?" He's elect. He's an elect stone. He was chosen by God, and all those who are elect are chosen by God with him. And he's a living stone. He's a living stone, says Peter. He says, "Because I live, you also shall live." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Living stones, those stones that touch him and are touched by him, are made alive. And then he builds them together. That's what was happening in Antioch. He builds them together. The church is the place where God the Father has promised that this is where God the Son will get his glory, in the gathering of his people. Which is why it's so important that Paul, before he began what in the rest of Acts is Paul's missionary journeys to the Gentile world and this gospel that goes out to the Gentiles and floods this world, Paul has to spend 12 months in the church, because Paul is going to be sent from the church. And Paul, when he comes back from his missionary journeys, he goes to the church. And when Paul goes down to the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, he's sent from the church. See, God will do nothing in this gospel age apart from glorifying his people gathered together. Even the Apostle Paul, appointed and anointed by God, will begin his days as a teacher and a preacher and a pastor in a church. What a precious thing, brothers and sisters, to be in that church. Let's sing again, Norman.